This is Voices of Our World. I'm your host, Eileen Bott. Next, we'll continue our discussion about the so-called Social Security crisis, what it means, who will be most affected, and what can we do to change it around. There's an interesting article in the March-April issue of Mother Jones magazine. It's called The Siren of Santiago, How a Pinochet Protege Helped Charm Bush into Privatizing Social Security. In it, Barbara Dreyfus, the author of the article, tells us how then Texas Governor Bush invited José Piñera to discuss the privatization of Social Security. José Piñera was the labor minister during the brutal Pinochet military dictatorship in Chile, who fought against the demands of workers. Piñera believed that, and I quote from the article, Social Security could and should be an effective vehicle for the redistribution of wealth. Well, we think of Robin Hood when the redistribution of wealth is mentioned. But Piñera turned the customary understanding of the term on its head. He meant taking money from the poor to give to the rich. In The Siren of Santiago, published in Mother Jones, author Barbara Dreyfus points out that the World Bank, which until recently encouraged countries to privatize pensions, told the Chilean government that it must spend more to subsidize the private system and increase its role to prevent old age poverty. The bank found that exorbitant fees and other costs charged by private pension fund managers eat up as much as 15% of the contribution made by average Chilean workers. They also found that most Chileans did not receive the promised gains by switching to private accounts. In fact, more Chilean retirees had to continue working in order to make ends meet. And many wanted to continue working, but could not find jobs. So if this system, which failed in Chile and elsewhere, is not being recommended by conservative economic institutions because it increases poverty, defers our retirement age, and decreases the benefits for disabled workers and for family members of working people who died suddenly, then why is the government spending our tax dollars to convince us that it's a good idea? Eleanor Ostrinsky speaks with Lee Price, research director for the Economic Policy Institute.
Would you please give our audience a bit of a background about Social Security? People have an idea that it's all going away in about 2 seconds, and that's not really the case.
Correct. The Social Security system has a dedicated trust fund. The taxes are going in. People pay every paycheck, and we have a huge surplus going into that fund, and we'll have such a surplus for another more than 15 years. In the meantime, we will accumulate it in the trust fund because so much more is going in than going out. We will have over $4 trillion of assets in 2018, and by fairly conservative estimates, that trust fund will still be able to make up the difference between the benefits being paid out and the new revenue coming in till at least 2042, according to the Social Security trustees, and until 2052, according to the Congressional Budget Office. If you look at the federal government budget as a whole, it's the most solid part of the budget we've got.
Now, how many zeros? When you say trillion, I'm trying to give our audience an idea of what a trillion is. How would you explain it?
Well, there are 300 million people in the country, and you have $3 every one of them, a little over. You have $1 billion, and if $1 trillion, then you would have $3,000 for every person in the country, and we're going to have about $4.5 trillion, so it's over $10,000 a person will be in that trust fund. Not everybody gets Social Security, but about 40 million people do, and about a third of those people who get Social Security are getting it because of disability in the family or because someone died early. Social Security is not just a retirement program. It's also a program to provide effectively life insurance and disability insurance, which is very valuable. And it's inflation protected. So once you start collecting those benefits in retirement or disability or survivorship, if there's inflation, you're protected against that. There's no market anywhere that can provide this kind of benefits, and we need the government to be able to provide those kinds of basic benefits for people.
Now, when you say inflation protected, what would that mean to the average person? If the amount that you received in your check every month was not inflation protected, how far would it dwindle?
Well, inflation has been running about 2.5-3% in recent years. So So if you were going to retire at 65 and live till 80, that's 15 years. If you had 3% inflation, you would lose almost half of the purchasing power. If 3% inflation for 15 years, it's a very large reduction in your purchasing power if it's not inflation protected. But the way the program works, when inflation goes up, so does your benefit each year.
So essentially, you know, it's what we all hope for in getting a raise at our job.
Yes, we hope to keep up with inflation or better.
Yes. So there's been a discussion lately with the Bush administration to change how Social Security, how this fund operates or how this trust operates. What are those changes?
Well, the president appointed a commission 4 years ago to look into privatization, where you would have people take some of the money that's going into the trust fund and put it into a private account. And that is part of it, but that's really a smokescreen for the bigger part of the plan that his commission came up with was a drastic cut in benefits that would be essentially a plan to erode the program over time. Because the way the program now works is when you go to retire or have the benefits trigger in for the life insurance or disability insurance, when you go to collect that first benefit, they have to find out what your average salary was for your career. And there's been not only inflation, but increases in our standard of living. Our productivity has gone up. And for most people, on average, their pay goes up somewhat faster than inflation. And so people live better today than they did 30 or 40 years ago. So people retiring now, though, we have to figure out how to adjust for the income they made in 1970 or 1975. So the current formula says that we take the pay that they got then and then adjust upward by the average increase in pay since then. And since pay grows faster than inflation, it means that you can expect that when someone retires, they can get about a 40% replacement of their income. The average person, when they go to retire, will get replacement of their income in retirement about 40%. And that's sort of a basic minimum for a person in the middle. But if this plan were to go through and we continue to have progress in our economy, then the amount of income replacement on retirement would not go up. It would go up with inflation, but would not go up with general prosperity and productivity. And so 30 years from now, there would be a very substantial cut. 40 years from now, it would be a very substantial cut in your income replacement. And, you know, over time, it basically would wither away. The program would not keep up with income gains that people had over and above inflation.
Can we put it into real terms? Let's say your average income over time was about $30,000.
Mm-hmm.
What would be the average benefit that you would get at 65?
You would get a benefit of roughly $12,000 a year. That's not a comfortable living, but it's a basic living. That then hopefully you've done some saving on your own, or you've been fortunate to work for an employer who had some kind of pension, and you can have some other money to spend. But a lot of people, particularly in $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, they really don't have the capacity to save very much. They are spending every year just to get by. And so when they go to retire and they've made $20,000, they're going to get less than $8,000 income from Social Security. That's a basic income, but this is not a program that's overly generous. An essential fact to understand about Social Security is that one-third of people who get Social Security in retirement get 90% of their income from Social Security. Another one-third get between 50% of their income and 90%. So middle-income person is depending for more than half of their retirement income on Social Security. It's a fundamental program for our society, but for many people, it's very difficult to save. And this program ensures that they have income in retirement.
Yeah, well, if you earn $30,000 average over time, and then you get $12,000 when you retire at 65, and if you live in New York City, rents are still going up.
Yeah.
They don't ever come down, and they certainly, unfortunately, don't just keep up with inflation. And so $12,000 may not be even enough for your housing, let alone anything else like food and other essential things.
If anything, the program should be made more generous, but the Bush administration's goal is to make it much less generous over time.
Now, what is the impetus behind that? Why would George Bush want to change the not-so-generous program that exists today?
Well, a lot of the people advising him have been quite vocal for many years of being opposed to Social Security. Social Security is part of a general social insurance or social contract that we have with ourselves and our society. And what they want is to break the social contract and to go to a government that only provides things like police and firemen and protecting of property in the courts, and basically leave people to make their own individual requirements, their own saving, and have them fend for themselves. They fundamentally do not want a social contract where we protect people against problems of not just retiring without saving and having inflation in retirement, but also disability and early death. They want to cut back on all those kinds of protections that have become accepted in our society for the last 70 years. The opponents of Social Security are trying to paint Social Security as a bad 401k plan. But in fact, it is a very lucrative investment in life insurance and disability insurance and problems of potential retirement income. People can lose their job. They can have to stay home and take care of sick family members. There's a lot of risks that we all have that can prevent us from saving money, as well as just not being able to find jobs that pay enough to cover basic expenses and to save money. And Social Security is there to provide that disability insurance, to provide that life insurance, and provide that retirement income security. It's not overly generous, but it's essential for a humane society. There's a huge loophole that the Congress passed in 2001 to say that if you're a billionaire, you've amassed a huge stock portfolio and you die, we've had for almost 100 years a tax on that kind of estate. And in 2001, they proposed that we scale that back until 2010 and then we completely abolish it. So we ought to retain that, and it would make good sense to retain that and have some of that money put into the Social Security Trust Fund.
You're referring to the inheritance tax.
Yeah, the inheritance tax is scheduled to be abolished in 2010.
Yes, we've had a couple of shows about that. Anyway, I just wanted to thank you very, very much for giving us all this information about the Social Security program.
Now, this is a complicated issue, but I'm confident that people will learn more and more about it as the debate proceeds, and that if they can be engaged in telling their congressman, telling their senator what they think, that we will be able to stop the worst part of the president's goals.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Should we change Social Security? Email us. Go to www.marynoel.org/voices. Just click on Contact Us. Or you can call us at 1-877-MARY-KNOEL. That's 1-877-MARYKNOLL. Well, that's all for this week, and thanks for listening. Maya Rocky Moore and Lee Price are just two of the voices of our world. This week's show was produced by Eleanor Ostrinsky, and I'm your host, Eileen Bott. To suggest a topic or for more information on today's guests, just go to our program's website, www.marynoel.org/voices. To get Mary Knoll Magazine in English or Spanish, please call 1-877-MARY-KNOEL. That's 1-877-MARYKNOLL. If you missed a portion of this program, you can catch us on our website, www.marynoel.org/voices. And please join us next time for more Voices of Our World.